You're listening to another episode of I Know What You Watched in the 90s and early 2000s. I wish you. Chickity China.
You wear those shoes in. It's tricky. It's so tight. Here we go. Great. I'm ready.
Did it just end?
Mm-hmm.
You're listening to another episode of I Know What You Watched in the 90s.
And early 2000s.
This is Bryant.
I'm Cassie.
This is Samantha. And I'm single.
Wow. Wow. Right off the gate.
Just for tonight.
No, I know. Guys, calm down. It's not forever. Yeah. Everybody calm down. Your dream girl is still taken.
Just for the next hour or so.
Yeah, so no special guest Jason.
No special guest Jason.
He's told us that he was done with this and just wanted out.
Really?
No, I don't know.
Oh. No, he just, it's been a rough few days. He's like, I'm gonna. No. And he, full disclosure, we got home last night. It was kind of late-ish, like not enough to start a 2-hour movie. And I was ready, like I was willing to find time in my day to fit it in. But he was like, I'm not going to stress myself out about it. So he made a more potentially rational choice than I did.
So, yeah, let's start with first impressions then. Okay, Samantha.
Should I go first or last? I don't know where my story will lead.
Samantha.
So, yes, my first impression started at about 7 a.m. this morning, and I watched it in little increments up until about 30 seconds ago, where I turned my phone off and Brian started recording this podcast.
It tells you it's a long movie.
It's not that long. It was just I did some poor planning.
Almost 12 hours. It's an almost 12-hour
movie. It's a mini series.
Yeah. So my first impression was this is also the first time that I've seen this movie, and I liked it. I thought it had a lot of funny parts where I just busted out laughing because it wasn't what I expected to happen. And I thought that the characters were cool. I'm so used to Thora Birch being in Hocus Pocus.
That's where she was from.
It was just really weird to see her as like anything else.
I know. I was like, last time I saw her, she was trick-or-treating. This is quite a change.
You when you were this big.
So I kept like relating her character back to the kid from Hocus Pocus. I'm like, oh, this is her now, just like in high school and grown up. And so
interesting.
That was kind of weird for me. Again, because I kept expecting like the witches to show up or like Hocus Pocus references to come about, and they didn't.
Nope.
But outside of that, the actual movie itself, not Hocus Pocus, this one was pretty good, and I recommend it. It was funny.
We did have some funny moments.
Yeah.
I watched this about 3 days ago. It's the first time I've ever heard of this movie and watched this movie. It was weird. And like, I don't know if it was like I didn't like it or I didn't get it. It was like, it wasn't bad, but it was just like, this may be too much for me.
I think I said, well, I don't know if you're done, Brian.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I'm done.
I realized I just gave you when I watched it. I didn't actually give my impression of it was but kind of along those lines.
That is your first impression.
I didn't know.
I guess this is literally would be your first impression.
Yeah, this is the first time I'm expressing it. I guess I didn't know what this movie was about. I was like, Ghost World. And I remember seeing the cover, and they looked kind of like ethereal. Like I thought there was going to be just some more supernatural elements to it, honestly. There were some moments like I was like, oh, that's a funny quote or funny thing that happened. And it was weird, which I do appreciate. It was, I feel like a lot of things happened, but also nothing happened. It was.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, it was essentially, you know, two girls that graduate high school and they're trying to figure out what's next. And then they basically just navigate that through meeting new people in the small town that they live in and then fighting and realizing they want different things. And it took some turns.
It felt very much, I don't know if you guys seen, I think Lady Bird is the name of the movie.
That obscure movie that wasn't nominated for an Oscar. Yes.
You don't watch every Oscar movie.
No, I know, but it was just funny. It was very popular when it came out.
It felt very like kind of early that. Like it just felt like Lady Bird kind of movie, just in like the early
90s. Was it early 90s?
I guess I think it was 2001.
Yeah.
Oh, we didn't even talk about what movie we were doing.
Oh, right.
Wow.
Ghost World.
We're really close to the end.
Right. Ghost World.
Ghost World. 2001 movie directed by Terry Zwigoff. Z-W-I-G-O-F-F.
Sure.
Cool. I looked him up and I can't remember what he did. But anyway. Oh, he did Bad Santa. That was the other movie he directed.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Pretty different.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That one seems more overt and in your face.
Yeah.
This one was very like, gotta pay attention. I saw that it was, when the credits were rolling, it's based on a comic book.
Oh, I didn't even see that.
Okay. I was hoping you'd have more information. I don't know. It literally just said, based on a comic book by, and I'm sure it said by someone. But I didn't catch that.
That kind of makes sense.
Yeah,
there's some weird
that.
Comic book. I could see that being like, I don't know, maybe like a Dark Horse or an Image comic book series.
That better explains why, you know, she was drawing comic book characters the whole movie. And creating a comic book.
Ooh, wow.
She makes being sense. Enid. She was Thora Birch.
She be Enid.
Yes. And I also was Googling a lot, like, what happened to Thora Birch? Because again.
Yeah, what happened to her?
Not much. Okay. Like, that's what my Google search revealed. Basically, the top articles were about things that she turned down and didn't end up doing, and not things that she did do. Like, I guess she had a role in the newest Netflix series, Wednesday, and then decided she didn't want to do it or it wasn't a good fit. And then had like a cameo in an episode of The Walking Dead. And that was about all I found. So
did she really make that much money off of Hocus Pocus? She's like, I don't need to do anything else.
Royalties, I guess.
I guess so.
It is Disney royalties. So.
Thora Birch, tell us your finances. Give us a call and discuss your finances with us.
And just what you're up to.
Yeah.
And why you weren't in the Hocus Pocus sequel, because I was upset about that.
Oh, she's not in it?
No, she wasn't in it. Maybe it was another not the right fit thing.
Maybe.
No, it literally is. Because
because you are the person. Yeah.
It fits you perfectly. Anyways, this movie,
Sam, do you want to give a quick synopsis?
Oh, yeah. Well, I think Cassie did a good job. Like, that was pretty good. Yeah. These two girls graduate high school and then they navigate what's next. And they kind of, I feel like they were very realistic teenagers. And therefore, I don't think I like them. Like,
I felt the same way.
This made me feel like, oh my God, I'm so old that these teenagers are driving me crazy. Like, they're just really
maybe not the same way then.
I don't know. They just were making bad decisions, which is what you do when you're 18 years old. But like, they're just not mostly Enid. But
it was weird. It was a weird movie.
Mostly Enid, but like, what's her name?
Rebecca.
She also did some things. I was like, what are you doing? That's just mean. You're just being a mean, hateful person.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was rough to watch their divide in the movie because they kind of like fall apart as friends. And that was kind of brutal to watch because it didn't happen in a funny way. It happened in like an awkward kind of dark way. I don't know. I liked Rebecca, didn't like Enid as much. Mm-hmm. She, I felt like, made worse decisions than the two of them.
She's very self-sabotaging. Feels like.
Yeah.
And I would love to know why.
And she just had these weird like fixations on things. And you're just like, why don't you just be a normal teenager and like I mean, there were a lot of places in the movie that I was like, man, I'd like to work there, like the the theater and the video
that
store.
That was so funny, though. But as she got fired, it's from the theater. Yeah, from the theater.
Yeah, like she was working at the movie theater and this lady ordered the popcorn. And then the guy that worked there, I guess he was her manager, kept telling her that she needs to upsize. And then the lady wanted the extra butter and she squirts it and is like, gross.
To be fair, that did look gross.
Yeah.
The thing that when she tried to upsell was like, I'm telling you as your friend. Yeah. Medium is for suckers.
Yeah. That was great. So she couldn't like keep a job and was just like super sarcastic, but in a funny way.
Yeah.
But yeah, she was very self-sabotaging. And then she kind of develops this weird relationship with Seymour, who's, what's his name in real life?
Steve Buscemi. I loved him in this movie. Like, I felt bad for him.
She
and I was like,
fucked up the man's life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just because she was jealous for a second and then she stopped being jealous, or she like decided she got what she wanted and then didn't care anymore.
I feel like she was wanting to just keep Seymour to herself.
Yeah.
That's what I felt like. Then, like, when she was like, oh, this, no. Like, it was just very weird. And I thought, like, going back to, like, teenagers are kind of shitty. When they do that first ad and they just sit there and watch, it's like, okay, I just don't get why you would be like, now let's follow him.
Yeah. She seemed, I think you said, Cassie, you said that she, like, would just obsess and fixate on things. And then, I don't know if it was that she would get bored or if it was just the idea of, like, someone's telling me that I can't have this. And so now I want it. But now that I get it, like with the whole, moving in with Rebecca, she's like, please let me move in with you. I'll get this job. I'll do whatever. And then she got it. And she's like, I don't actually want this.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
So shitty. But
that was a hard scene. And I wrote that down just of how like awkward it was where, you know, cause like Rebecca was going through all the work of like finding the place and like, you know, still open to the idea of moving in with her, even though she was being really crappy about it and not really looking with her. And then, like, her response was, gee, I can't wait to live in some shithole out in the middle of nowhere. Yeah. I was like, man, that sucks. I feel bad for Rebecca.
Yeah.
That was mean to your friend. I mean, even if you are living in a shithole out in the middle of nowhere, you're with your best friend, so you can make it fun.
Yeah. It also criticizing when you're not putting in any effort is like one of my biggest pet peeves.
Yeah.
I will take your constructive criticism, but if you're just criticizing to criticize, fuck you.
Yeah.
Can't take it.
I feel like this would be a Jason thing to do.
In his honor. Do it in his honor.
R.I.P. King.
No.
Anyway, when they are like when they go to those finding apartments and they're like in the outside scene, there's some, I don't know if you guys noticed the background characters in those scenes.
I watched it in my car, so
so you noticed. But like it was just very weird. There was like a pregnant woman smoking, just like walking in the background.
That's funny.
And then like just people carrying like a body bag. Or like it was just
what? Well, maybe that's why she's like, this is a shithole. She was noticing.
She saw those details. Yeah. Nobody else did, because I didn't even see that.
It's like, I think it is that same scene where it's
okay.
Like, Rebecca, like she finds an apartment for them and they're going to go check it out. And she's like, no.
Well, she should have phrased it differently. Yeah. She should have been like, you know, that this place is a shithole, but like,
I'm concerned for our safety.
I'm not sure if I want to live in a place where people are getting murdered in the daylight and drug out in body bags. We should look at some alternate options.
Yes. It did look like EMC or EMTs.
Yeah.
It looked like they were wearing like EMT uniform.
Oh my gosh.
That's still a body bag.
Yeah, so that's like, yeah, I mean, I don't know.
Where do you think, because I feel like this is like based in LA.
I don't know.
Has an LA
vibe
to it.
Did they say that?
I don't think they ever put a location in this movie.
See, I kind of got that it was a small town, not LA.
I got like big city, but like downtown area.
I don't know. They kept going into
there was
all
that
these
bridge at the end.
Yeah. I feel like they kept going into all these shops where they knew people and like, what are the chances that this guy lives around the corner? And they like,
I mean, you're talking about Enid, who noticed an old man sit at a park bench or a bus bench forever and then just started talking to him. So
yes, I don't know.
She just may know a lot of
she's
people.
She's just so friendly.
Yeah.
She did, like, I didn't care for her character very much, but she did have some of my favorite quotes.
Was the guy on the bench real?
I don't know. I was honestly expecting that bus at the end to disappear.
Was that when you were like, oh, nope, not the end of the movie?
Because, so that part kind of confused me because the title of this movie is Ghost World. Mm-hmm. And, like, there's...
Where's the ghost?
Yeah, so there's a guy in this movie... And I say a guy, and you're probably picturing like a young guy. It's an older gentleman, and he sits on a bench the whole movie. And she says to him at one point, you're the only person I can count on because mm-hmm. You're always here. And he says something ominous, like,
that's what you think.
Yeah, something like that.
I thought whenever she like went up to him, it was like, this bus line is ended. Like, they've canceled this bus line. And
no, that was earlier in the movie. She says that earlier to him.
Well, I thought like she went back to him and be like, why are you still waiting here? I thought it was like an argument. I could be misremembering it, but it felt more like it was at when she was an angry point where like she just keeps fucking up over and over again. And it's just frustrated. It seemed like I could be misremembering this entire movie.
But it's still, I mean, whichever way it was a weird thing that he said because she was like, you're the only one I can count on. And he goes, that's what you think, or something like you'd like to think that.
Something ominous. Something. And it made me wonder a lot because, you know, out of nowhere in the middle of the movie, or maybe towards the end, this bus shows up that looks like it's from the 60s. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I mean, it doesn't look like a modern bus at all, and or even a 2000s bus. And, you know, it picks him up and they kind of drive away and he's the only person on the bus. And then later in the movie, she sits there and eventually that same bus comes up and he's not on it, but she gets on and she's the only one and drives away. So,
yeah, I was I figured that was like, that's got to be the whole ghost of it all, because supposedly that bus line wasn't active anyway.
And I wonder if we like totally missed something in this movie. Like,
what if
there
it's
were
a metaphor
ghosts?
For death?
That's what I was going to say. And like, what if she died at the end and it's taken her across the bridge to the underworld for her, all of her bad deeds?
Well, cause, like it could, like, I feel like using the old man as a metaphor, like I think Enid does, maybe not. I could be putting some weird persona on her, but like, would be like, old man, why are you still alive? Like, like, kick the bucket already.
She's like being punished for her bad deeds at the end, and she's actually dead and headed on the bus.
I mean, that bus did seem the way that it was set up,
that part of when it was like, oh, here's the ghost part, like I do remember like watching it and thinking that you're like, okay, this might be where like the ghost
we're
part
about
comes
to get
up.
Into ghost world.
Ghost world in 10 minutes.
And we said this movie's funny, and it is, but now we're kind of wondering, did it have a dark element?
Yeah, maybe. Like, dark comedy.
I wasn't, because then she also had that speech where she talks about how her dream is to just disappear. So I was like, so
maybe
is
it was
this
that.
Her?
Yeah.
I truly didn't know. Like, towards the end, how it's all of a sudden jumped to Steve Buscemi's therapy sessions. I was like, is it going to come out that he imagined her? Or like the way that they transitioned into his therapy session was that like, oh, this is all a made up story that he's working through in therapy. But I don't know. I think I need someone to explain what exactly happened because I'm not sure, to be honest.
Terry? If
Thora?
<you're... laughs> Thora.
Do you mean who's Terry?
The director.
Oh, I thought you were talking about Thora Birch.
No. The director of the movie.
Yeah.
I think he also wrote this movie. But Yeah, it's just a weird. It was funny. I do remember laughing a little bit.
Yeah, it had some funny parts. Like, I liked the part. I liked a lot of the scenes with Rebecca where she's in the real world and she's trying to figure out, like, you know, how to navigate like post high school struggles. And it looks like she's working at kind of like a Starbucks.
Yeah.
But I really liked that quote where she says, you know, some people are okay here, but most of the time I feel like poisoning everyone. I was like, it's probably a good quote for working at a Starbucks because people that go in there seem pretty on edge sometimes.
Yeah. It's all that caffeine. One of my favorite quotes is when Enid's dad is like, it's right after high school graduation and he's talking to her about what she's gonna do, what is she gonna do, and like some options that I think it was when he was like, you could apply in the winter, go to college part-time, and he's like trying to give her all these options and she goes, look at me, I'm not even listening to you right now.
Yeah. She was such an asshole. Like
she is not gonna try.
Like I kind of didn't watch, like I looked away from the movie a lot because I was like on my phone. And it was just like, when it was just her, I was like, gosh, she's just the world. Like, she's so awful.
Yeah. Another person I really liked was Josh.
Josh.
I just went on IMDb and I was looking at Josh because I wanted to remember, or I wanted to see what else he's been in. And sadly, he died in 2008.
That's Brad Renfro, right?
What? Yeah, Renfro.
He died like while he was making a movie or had just made a movie or something. Wasn't it like a drug swing?
Yeah, that's what it says. Okay.
Jason, we've really been in a dark place without you, buddy.
Who knew he was the light? All this time.
All his angry rants made us happier.
Yeah, we had to like compensate with joy, but now that
we're overcompensating for his loss, like,
we're good. We don't have to pretend.
And I didn't even mean to say to make it sadder. I just looked on IMDb. I was like, man, that Josh guy was funny. What's he doing now?
Damn.
Says died.
Well, I mean, it ties into this movie. We kept wondering who, like, the ghost and, like, the afterlife.
This is just real sad. Yeah. Oh, man.
I do remember seeing his name.
I am so sorry, listeners.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I remember seeing his name, and I remember he was kind of, like, a known actor, so I was expecting his role to be a little bigger, but he just showed up in, like, three scenes.
Yeah.
Scenes were hilarious, though.
Worked at the convenience store.
Speaking of his character, Josh, why did he seems so persistent of like, no, I'm not going to follow this guy. And then he ends up following them.
Well, that's kind of, it felt like a common theme in the movie where she like made Seymour go into that shop and buy her that stuff. And I wondered if it was a thing of like she's just so either persistent or obnoxious that she wears people down. But yeah, it seemed to happen a lot where people be like, no, I'm not. No. And she just bugged them into it. But
I can definitely see that. Definitely see that.
You're like, oh, fine.
Are you going to will you just stop if we do this?
I thought it was going to get very dark there for a second when Seymour went to the to the convenience store because he thought Josh was behind the prank. Like, I was like, oh my God, is he going to kill Josh?
That's what I thought too.
Yeah.
But thankfully nobody officially died. We have our questions, but like,
yeah,
officially no one died on screen.
Oh, I want to say the movie store scene made me really miss Blockbuster.
Like, me too.
Like, it was just like, oh, it was so cool. We miss you, Blockbuster.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like the joy of just walking around a Blockbuster and thinking about all the movies you could get, even if you only chose one, but just the like Taj Mahal of options.
That's what Netflix is missing. Like we do like scrolling, but like a physical scrolling.
Yeah. And Netflix is too much. Like it's too many options. Yeah. Blockbuster, there was a finite. Eventually, you'd get through the store.
Yeah, you will see.
And you have to be like, well, I have to make a choice now.
Just get some candy.
And see, Blockbuster was fun because you could always find those like obscure movies that you would never watch. Like, it's so much harder to find those now. Those like hidden gems, like B horror movies. Like you'd find like one or two on the shelf, and it'd be like something crazy on the cover, and you're like, well, that's interesting.
Yeah,
and then rent it. But
I wish
welcome to our Blockbuster episode.
I'm trying to, yeah, if you could sponsor us Blockbuster, come give back on the map.
We're not getting any money, but please sponsor us.
Yeah.
Like, it'd be awesome if I could remember the most like obscure Blockbuster pick I made, but I can't remember. I know that I did.
I feel like I would say a bunch of these movies that I have seen before.
I
did.
I will say a lot of, I know a lot of Freddie Prinze Jr.'s catalog thanks to like Blockbuster picks where I was like, oh, he's on the cover. Take it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, these movies that we're doing, they probably had 20 plus copies on the shelves. Yeah. I'm sure when this movie came out, it had 20 plus copies on the shelf at Blockbuster.
Probably.
Because, I mean, Scarlett Johansson and
Thora Birch.
Yeah, Steve Buscemi, those were all big names. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So
can we talk about the graduation scene? It was short, but it was crazy. The girl talking in the wheelchair. Oh. And then I was like, what are they saying? I couldn't, her speech wasn't totally clear. Or maybe I just wasn't expecting it to be that. But I was like, is she saying, thanks to her accident, she's no longer on drugs and alcoholic. And then they confirmed that it was they're like, I preferred her when she was a crackhead.
Yeah.
Now she's in a wheelchair.
And then I think there's a party afterwards and she's like
weird
doing drugs again.
Oh, I didn't even see her doing drugs again.
Yeah, I believe it's maybe not drugs, but like I think it's drinking. Oh,
that's Darcy from Bring It On, I'm pretty sure. She was the like really sweet, innocent one who at the cheer competition is like, don't talk to our enemies. And she goes, hi.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
No, but yeah.
Alum. Yeah.
We love alums.
We do. Those are the best. And have these two been in other movies we've done?
No.
Which two?
Thora hasn't.
Thora definitely.
No.
Scarlett Johansson. No, I think she was a pretty much from the beginning did like deep indie movies. Not so much the ones we talked about.
Yeah.
The only one I can think of, but we didn't end up doing it, is this one called The Perfect Score. But I didn't do that one. I think maybe it came out after 2002.
Mm. Yeah. Hmm. She did do Eight Legged Freaks.
Oh, did she?
Yeah,
I don't think we did that.
Giant
one.
Spiders that eat people. Nope.
No, that's not a common teenage struggle. So
yeah, no.
I think we did that.
Yes, because a lot of these movies are common teenage struggles.
Yeah. Anyways, yeah, the graduation where that girl came out and was the valedictorian.
It's okay.
And then afterwards,
she valedictorian or was she just like, hey,
I hope so. I hope it wasn't just like newly a person in a wheelchair. You can make a speech now. That seems like really bad decision making. I guess they'd be like, "Ooh, perfect. This is like an anti-drug drinking drug." PSA.
That's what I was thinking. Maybe. That it was like It was like a PSA, like, "Hey, kids, don't do drugs." Yeah.
And then there was like the TLC inspired performance that happened.
Oh my god!
And that was, I mean, I would have loved that at my high school.
Me too.
And then they go to their grad party where they're playing like retirement home music.
That was weird. The grad party, I was like, is this still part of the high school thing? Or is this like you said, like a visit to a retirement center day?
Yeah.
Post-graduation that's required.
So odd.
Yeah.
I felt like it was like a school sponsor.
Yeah, it definitely was. And it was just bizarre.
Yeah.
But
yes.
I'm trying to think.
Can we talk about her summer class?
Oh yeah. That was, I meant to bring that up when we were talking, it had something to do with something we were talking about earlier, but yes, we can talk about it.
Okay. Do you have something?
Well, you brought it up. You go first. You go first, girl.
Jason, really, this is some weird energy going on in this episode. It feels like our first 7 episodes all put together.
Yeah.
Don't give him too much credit. He's going to be like, you guys are nothing without me.
Probably.
So we are having a great time.
I mean, we brought it back.
Yeah.
Too happy to. But it was just like, the teacher was weird as hell. Like, she also looked familiar.
Mm-hmm. I couldn't figure out where I heard her from, though.
But it was just like, her comments are like, this isn't a good teacher. She's kind of an awful teacher.
Yeah. I was pretty shocked there when she all of a sudden started trying to impress her and like her validation. Eden? Yeah, when Eden started to, because she was a very terrible teacher who was like, I don't care unless you're telling me your trauma or like social commentary or something.
She also said something like her introduction. She says the things like, she describes herself and she's like, I'm a sculptor or I do like mold sculpting or like she talks about what kind of art she does. Mm-hmm. And then just like, I think she also says a thing where it's like, and that's the best type of art to express yourself. I was like, art is expressive. Like, you don't have to mold something to be like, and that's my perfect expression. It was just a very weird, like, that doesn't seem like a good teacher.
No, I didn't think she was very good. And I thought it was weird at the end that Enid all of a sudden started trying to do something to him. Like, I kind of thought she was just, she took that painting in and was going to take credit.
Of the chef or the cooked old chicken. Logo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To like just try and get a passing grade.
I thought it was to fuck with her. Like I thought she was still just like being a shitty teenager and be like, okay, fine. This is gonna, because it felt like she was just also very jealous of that other girl in that summer class, which I also didn't understand why she was in that summer class if she was so good.
I was like, you can't be that good girl.
Yeah. You got a feeling great.
It kind of felt back to one of those things where she kept being criticized in that class. So she's like, I'll show you, I can do a good job. And then as soon as she did, she was like uninterested and completely blew off the teacher about, which that is what kind of program is like, pick one of your kids that originally failed the class to give them a full ride for 1 year at this art school. Like they failed the first time.
Strange concept.
Yeah, I don't know.
But yeah, I found that strange. Like that whole, I was like, are we supposed to be rooting for this team? Are we supposed to like her? Because I don't think I do. And it doesn't seem like we should. But then at the end, she was almost like
helpful.
It was like another person that Enid screwed over. Yeah. Sort of.
But I think you feel less bad about Enid screwing her over, which maybe on purpose.
Maybe.
You don't know.
We don't know anything.
Well, I do. There was also like, I have a WTF moment from the summer arts class where it was like the black and white short film of just like the baby head.
Yeah, that was so weird.
Who did that?
I think the teacher was just, was like the beginning.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
like,
yeah.
It's like, this is art. Or like, I don't know.
A visual thing.
Yeah. It was just a very weird, like, what the fuck are they watching? Like it's just like baby doll parts being thrown in the toilet.
That guy who like did something based off a video game or comic book or something, and she goes, "Oh, I thought you were gonna say it was your father."
Yeah, that was another thing. Just like
she was disappointed that it was just something he liked instead of commentary on like a trauma he went through.
Yeah,
so I was like, yeah. She wanted everything to have like a messed up story in that class. She didn't want people to just sit down and draw something that looked good.
Yeah,
she was like no.
I like Don Knotts, so I drew him. And she goes, okay.
Yeah, she was like, no, not interesting. Mm-hmm. It's got to be messed up.
How does anyone pass that class?
I don't know. I guess you just got to make up something graphic and disturbing.
You're like, it totally has a deeper meaning. Another part that I liked of Enid, back to the grad party when that guy comes up and talks to Rebecca and he's like, happy graduation or how are you or something. And she goes, what about me?
Yeah.
I was like, good for you for calling him out because that's fucking rude.
So first thought when I saw that, I was like, that reminds me of Samantha.
Then I'd be the, what about me?
Yeah, that makes sense. Probably not when you were in high school.
No, maybe, I don't know, probably not, but now I'd be like, excuse me, excuse me.
I am also a person in here.
It reminds me of that time that we were at this bar and this guy was trying to buy my girlfriend that I was with a drink. And he was like, oh, I'll get you a drink, totally ignoring me. And like, I didn't care. But so he goes up to the bartender and who is also a lady boss. And he goes, hey, can I get her a drink, my friend? And she goes, are you going to get one for her friend, too? And she points at me and he obviously isn't going to be a dick. He's like, yeah, totally. So the bartender got that guy to buy me a drink.
More bartenders need to do that.
What about her?
Yeah. What about me all the time? What about her? It was amazing.
But that is awesome. I did love how that conversation ended in the movie, though. Like, that part made me bust out laughing.
What happened?
Because so the guy that ignores Enid, that they start to talk to, he's like, oh, you know, are you guys not going to go to college? What are you going to do? Blah, blah, blah. And then they kind of like turn the tables and they're like, so what are you going to do? And he was like, oh, I'm going to go to like such and such college and major in business administration with a minor in communications. And then I think he stood there waiting for a response like, oh, yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
And instead, Enid goes, see, that's exactly the thing we're trying to avoid and walks away. I love when people like don't get the responses that they want and they're just being like cheeky, though. Like, it happens all the time at work, and every time I'm just that's awesome.
They're like, you expected that to go one way and it went a completely different way.
yeah it's awesome. So
that's funny.
Love that part. Yeah.
I think that needs to be your bio in something. I love it when people don't get the response they want.
Yeah, it is one of my favorite things, because then they have that expression on their face that's just like, like utter confusion. Like, you can tell that they saw it play out a completely different way in their head. And now they're faced with the realization that they're actually getting made fun of.
God, amazing. Yeah. Oh. I had no idea you enjoyed that so much.
It's one of my favorite things.
I'm excited. I'll be on the lookout for those kinds of stories that I can share with you.
Yes.
That's so funny. I am so, because yeah, in that interaction, it looked like Rebecca was kind of down to talk to this guy, but Enid kind of pulled her away. So I thought that was going to turn into more of a story part. But then at other times, it would seem like Rebecca was. And maybe that was just like, they are different people. They were friends for a long time and they were the convenience of high school. But in reality, like, they don't really like each other or each other's choices.
They wouldn't like to live with each other.
Yeah, because they both seem pretty judgy about what the other one was doing.
Yeah. But like, also had that common judginess of other people as well. What happened after they followed the Satanists or whatever?
They found the 50s diner and they just went in and like made fun of it and made fun of Alan, who was just a random character. Now, but he made me laugh because he was odd.
It did make me laugh when they're like, can we call you Weird Al? He was like, okay. Sure. But yeah, I forgot where I was going to go with that. But
I think it just didn't have anything to do, which is so teenager post high school, like,
oh, they just do whatever.
Yeah, like, do you want to follow these people that we think are Satanists? Yeah, sounds cool.
They did look like Satanists, though. Like, I don't know what a Satanist looks like.
I don't think I have a look for that.
But when she said that and then Rebecca turned around and looked at him, I was like, whoa, that could be what Satanists look like.
Were they just like freaked out that you were using umbrellas in the sun, like, to protect against the sun? Was that what was so interesting about them pulling out black or was it because it was black?
I think it was a combination of that and that they legit look like vampires.
I mean, doing that, you definitely do look like a vampire. Like, that's suspicious.
But they gave up that. Yeah, they were like, oh, were they ghosts? Were those people the ghosts? Because they were, at one point they mentioned, like, why are we so far behind them? And then they turn a corner, those people are gone, and they find this diner that, like, where everything else unfolds.
Yeah.
Are they the ghosts?
I think there's some elements of this movie we need to research some more.
I agree.
Were there actual ghosts?
Sam didn't have enough time.
And who was a ghost?
I did not have time to deep dive, but I really want to after.
This might be the first one that after watching it and talking to it, be like, I have to know a little bit like, more.
I understand less after the conversation.
Yeah.
But I have more questions. there's also some weird, like, I couldn't tell what was a real thing that Enid was like, what was the truth and what was a lie with Enid. Because she says something with Seymour that, like, it's after, I believe, I think it's before the bus, because it's like her dad got her the job with his girlfriend that she doesn't like.
Yeah.
And then she just, like, all of it looks like it's like, oh, okay, I'm gonna get my shit together. And then just vanishes and then runs to Seymour, I think. And she says something like, Rebecca, like, I quit out on Rebecca to get an apartment.
Mm-hmm.
So she probably hates my guts. But then, like, she leaves Seymour's apartment, and then Rebecca, oh no, it's after the hospital when Seymour gets knocked out by the ninja guy. And, like, she's leaving the hospital and Rebecca is outside, and they're like, I guess, like, not super friendly, but they're like, doesn't seem like, like, it seemed like their normal relationship. I was like, oh, okay.
I kind of thought that was like, yeah, you were shitty, but this guy's your friend. It seemed like Rebecca was stepping up. She's like, you're going through something right now. This guy who's your friend is in the hospital. I'll go with you to visit him. But now that everything seems fine, I'm going to go back to my job.
I gotta go.
You call me when your shit is together. That's how I took that.
I don't think, like, modern day Enid and Rebecca would be friends.
No.
Like, oh God, no.
This movie is like the friendship ripping at the seams right after they don't have high school in common. So it was. Yeah. And that part was, I was like, this feels very real.
Here we go down again.
This probably happens a lot.
Probably.
Yeah, that it did. And even the part when, like, Enid was kind of like doing her own thing with Seymour and just being weird and, like, making weird decisions. The part with Rebecca where she's like, yeah, I'm gonna go out with my work friends tonight.
And Enid's, she was like, just sitting what? There.
Yeah. But then Enid was like thinking, like, you know, she's like ready to, like, move on without me, even though she wasn't actually going out with her work friends. But you could tell she was thinking about it and wanting to do that. So
I kind of thought that maybe that would get Enid to
be a better friend.
Yeah. Be like, oh, I think I'm losing my friend. But she just kind of, that scene, I kind of just took it as like, okay, this is the beginning of the end, or like
the self-sabotage.
It's continuing. Like,
Rebecca is like
done.
It's mentally done with that friendship. And it's like, physically, I still have to kind of talk to you.
Yeah.
We are planning on living together.
For a second, I had a lot of, and I think maybe this is one of the things where not a lot was happening, that I think my brain started going into overdrive, being like, where do I think it's happening? For a second there, I was like, am I rooting for Seymour and Enid? I feel weird. I mean, she's not underage. They established them as graduating high school. So they're like 18. But it's just like, that man is much older than her. And like, is it weird? But also, is she like, because for a while I was like, maybe she's going to be, is going to be one of those corny, like, you're the only person I like. And he was like, me too. And it was just going to be a weird relationship, but like sweet in that sense. And then I also thought there was a point where he was getting really grumpy, I think in the car or something. And she kind of was like, is she realizing, oh, she doesn't want to grow up to be that kind of grumpy person. So she's going to turn it around and like find more joy. Oh, when he was
complaining about the people going slow.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and
there's a funny, I can't remember the line, but it did, the line in that did make me laugh.
That one, when he was like, have more children.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you hypnotized? Or like,
yeah, it was weird. I think I spent a lot of time trying to figure out where this movie was going, and none of my guesses panned out.
No.
Yeah. I think they also, like, the thing with Josh, it feels like he would have been a much more important character than I think he actually was, because I think Seymour asked Enid, is like, oh, why don't you date Josh, because I think she says that she has a crush on him.
That part was confusing. Yeah, she was, it almost seemed like she was trying to tease Seymour, because she goes, I'm dating or I have a crush on someone, but it's kind of a messed up situation.
Yeah.
And Seymour goes, who? And I think maybe he thought, is she talking about me? Because this situation is kind of messed up, I guess, if you look at it.
Oh.
But then she said, Josh. But he was okay, why don't you date him? And then she goes, well, because Rebecca would freak out, implying that Rebecca liked him. But then nothing, I don't know. So I kind of see what you're saying. I don't know what she was saying that was actually true.
Yeah, it's all over the place.
She seemed like just basically I was like, this is an exhausting person that actually probably exists.
Yeah.
And like,
that's probably actually.
And like people really.
And if you're listening, you're the worst.
Get your shit together.
Yeah.
And like, it's one of those things where they're interesting. So people like them. But then after a while, you're like, oh, my God, this person is exhausting.
Too much.
I have to get out of it.
Yeah.
But not before she's like ruined and wasted too much of your time, basically. Yeah.
Poor Seymour.
I know.
Yeah, that was rough.
Dina was a weirdo, I will say. I didn't care for her, his girlfriend there.
Yeah.
Where she. I mean, I love to dance, but I think. Turning up the radio on your first
going to someone's house on the first date.
I mean, yeah, I would never. But it's because she was an awkward dancer. I was like, maybe if she had been a good dancer, this scene would be less weird. But she was just being so awkward. And like, poor Seymour was like, and at one point she gets him up. She goes, put your little ice cream bowl down. And he's trying to dance.
And did she also get like mad at him very quickly?
Yeah, he goes, we gotta go because we gotta make that movie, which is a funny thing to say as you have a full bowl of ice cream, but whatever. And then she goes, ugh, party pooper. And so I thought maybe that was the end of their date and he was gonna call Enid and be like, it went terribly. But that was the beginning of the relationship, weirdly.
Yeah, I
don't know. It was also strange because I was like, Enid is being a dick to him, but also this getting into the business of telling people that you're dating who you can and can't hang out with is very like drives me bonkers.
Yeah.
So
talking about Dina.
Yeah. So like the fact that Dina was doing that and then he kept saying things like,
I mean, she could be like this. I mean, she did ruin his life, so maybe she had
she was onto something. But she didn't know she was going to do that.
Or did she?
I guess.
It's a grown woman like, against a teenager.
She was like, this girl seems
this
very...
seems like a mess. Do not
she was
avoid
trying to
this.
Warn him.
Avoid this, Seymour.
But then when he was like, yeah, she bought this antique, but she said it would go better with my old-timey stuff.
Yeah.
So I was like, so do we not... It was also like the teacher. I was like, do we not like Dina?
See, I feel like...
Yeah.
Huh, maybe this with the teacher as well. It felt like we got Dina being mean and rude because we're seeing this through the perspective of Enid. And so it just could be like how she's taking Seymour's like comment about her. Because I thought like the way Seymour was like, that's a pretty nice, like I saw something and I thought of you. It could be of that. Like,
huh?
That's the gift.
What gift?
The antique.
Oh, the antique. Okay. I was like... I didn't see it as a gift. I thought it was like, no.
Oh, I thought it was like, she saw it and was like, oh, this might be this probably go nice with all your stuff.
Oh, see, I guess that's because the way I heard it was that she bought it, didn't like it. And was like, you've got crap at your apartment. Throw this in with it. But that's also, I guess, up for interpretation. I guess maybe this movie is.
That's all.
It's deep.
Is and that there's a ghost.
Yeah, a lot to explore.
And there are just different ways to take things. But overall, I did feel bad for Seymour. I thought he was going to be creepier at some point.
Me too.
He wasn't. He was just like a nice guy who was like, okay, 18-year-old, you want to hang out with me? Sure.
But yeah.
It seems like he lost his job because of her. Because I think that's what happened. Because he didn't want her to let her borrow that old logo. Because I think he works.
Oh, that's what it was. Yes,
yeah.
He did lose his job. Yep. Totally forgot. Chief. She ruined a man's life.
Just because she didn't know what she wanted to do.
Just because she thought it would have been a funny joke. A funny prank.
Well, the thing with that is, is that why she kept hanging out? Because she felt bad about it?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
So she wanted to find him like an actual date? to like make up for it. But then when he did start dating someone, she got jealous. It was all just very stupid kid. Just go home.
Very weird, like sort of rom-com if it was put in a different light.
And then she ghosted him.
That's the ghost.
I was just going to say, maybe that's
how the term ghosting started.
Because ghosting here first. Didn't you exist until first. Then. So this movie could have invented that.
Yeah.
You heard it here first. I know what you watched in the 90s and early 2000s.
When someone disappears from discovered
who invented ghosted.
Yeah.
Terry Zigoff, I think is how you pronounce that last name.
Quick question. Quick cue. Do we think Maxine, Enid's dad's girlfriend or ex-wife or whatever, was actually like horrible? Or do we think that Enid was just Enid about it all?
Considering that I gave that that perspective as well, I feel like
did you say that?
I thought like I said about Dina.
Oh, okay.
Different.
Okay. I see what you're
saying. Different older woman. Maybe she has daddy issues.
She's like, I hate older women.
But yeah, no, I think now, like saying it out loud, it does feel like that this movie is very much like, these aren't terrible people. It's just how Enid is talking about them before we even see them on camera.
Yeah.
And then like, I don't know. I feel like as an adult, you kind of have some be like, I've tried with this kid and they're just terrible.
I'm very curious because when you meet Maxine, like obviously we meet Maxine after descriptions of her and you're not set up to like her, I think. So I'm trying to think, but her comment I didn't care for, like when we finally do meet her, she goes, Enid, it's so weird seeing you so grown up. I like to think I had a hand in how you grew up, which is such a weird, like it is a weird narcissistic thing to say. Unless she's just like,
but it would make sense if that was his ex-wife.
I think it might have been, but it's also,
I don't know. I feel like it was an ex-girlfriend.
Oh.
I mean, I don't, I guess there are people out there that do call when they're mad at a parent, they call them by their first name.
Yeah. And also, even if they were a real parent, like, I think if my parents just were like, I like to think that I had a hand, which obviously they did 100%. They're our parents. But yeah. I'm like, why are we talking about you while you're trying to ask about me? That's really weird.
Okay, I see.
That's
I
a really
see,
weird angle to take.
How are you? I think I had a hand in raising you.
Yeah.
It's like, so you better be good.
Yeah. It was just, it's like, I don't know if this is all the proof we need to be like, ugh, yeah, I totally see why. So and so,
but it's not
her.
A good start.
But it's not a good start. I was like, maybe she is. I was just very. I wondered. That's another one of those things that I ponder. Like, if she really was awful, or if Enid was just, for based on everything else we saw about her,
just a bad, bad person. Just a toxic,
a dumb person, a very toxic person.
I've heard the phrase of like people are like quicksand. So like,
what does that mean?
Like I've heard that. She like
sucks them down.
Yeah, just brings them down and just like,
toxic people are like quicksand. Yeah. Not just like everyone in general.
But like there are some people that are just like, if you get too invested into it, that's just like they're bringing you down.
Yeah, that makes sense. I hope, my hope is that she would grow out of it wherever she was taken on that bus. But I mean, it did not seem good.
She might be dead.
She might also be dead.
Yeah, who knows? I don't know if we'll ever know.
No.
It's kind of like the ending of The Shining. You just have to think of your own theory of what happened.
How does that movie end? Oh.
It ends with like the...
Spoilers for The Shining, just in case.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, we can cut this part out. But it ends with the guy that shows up in the photo picture.
That's right.
And then you're like, what?
Yeah,
he reincarnated? Did he get absorbed into the house?
Is like, the house the problem?
I don't.
Is that Stephen King?
Yeah. Those movies drive me crazy. And I guess that's the whole point, because you are going to be thinking about them and talking about them for longer than movies that spell it out for you. But for my personal sanity, I prefer a movie that's like, this is what happened. and follow the steps.
End the story, please.
Please don't make me Google for 3 hours trying to figure out what happened in this movie.
And that's what we're going to do now because we don't know.
Don't know what the fuck happened in this movie.
How it ended.
Any disposable characters?
I'm just kidding. I don't know. I mean, I think, yes, I think what's his face's roommate?
Seymour?
Yeah, Seymour's roommate.
Oh, yeah, that's
pretty
a good
stupid.
One.
Yeah, like, I thought I he was.
She could have just gone straight to Seymour. Oh, don't know.
He even his little talk there at the end where he was kept saying things to Seymour was weird.
Oh, yeah.
He like kept coming out of his room or whatever and being like, oh, and this thing also.
You're still hung up on that 18-year-old? Weird dude.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
Oh, I think we've hit. Enid was weird and she didn't know what she wanted to do in life. She couldn't make up her mind. And like another example of that was that disaster of a garage sale. Where she tried to make money and then decided she didn't want to sell anything. Part of that was
this might actually be a great movie. Just we did not understand. It definitely does feel like it's either I didn't like this movie or I didn't get this movie.
Yeah, no,
I really enjoyed the garage sale scene. I was happy that part was in the movie.
What?
And it goes into my synopsis at the beginning when I said this movie is funny and made me laugh. Like, this is one of the many parts that did make me laugh outside of the other darker elements.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, basically this lady is at the garage sale and, you know, she's like, how much is this dress? And she's like, it's $500. And doesn't she say something like, it should be $2?
Yeah.
She says, why do you want the dress anyway? I lost my virginity and you won't look good in it.
Just a weird, weird girl.
When Rebecca found something. It was like, oh, you wore this during your little old lady phase. I was like, what? this teenage girl had a little old lady phase.
I mean, there's probably some people like that.
There are, but it was just like really funny. And then there was that part where she was in the record store. She had just dyed her hair green, Enid had, and they were all making fun of her look. They're like, oh, you think you're punk or you're doing terrible punk or something.
Yeah.
And then she goes, you're just so I didn't think you were going to be too stupid to not understand it. And then Rebecca goes, I didn't get it either. And then she goes, everyone is too stupid. And it really reminded me of something that Kenzie would yell.
Yeah. That is something she would yell.
Sam's going to teach her that phrase.
No, I won't. She clearly doesn't need help coming up with like hurtful phrases.
Yeah, that is true.
Any other WTF moments? I thought the graduation had a sponsor.
I didn't get that.
I think it's Hostess.
Oh. Okay.
And Dunkin' Donuts, I think, were their sponsor. So the outside scene right after the graduation in their banner, I believe it says Hostess and Dunkin' Donuts. Oh. Or Dunkin' Donuts might be at that graduation party, which is why I think it was school sponsor.
I didn't get that at all, but that's smart. That's ahead of their time, getting things sponsored so you don't have to pay for it. Very smart.
All right. Are we going into King and Queens?
Yes. I'm very conflicted. Not conflicted. I don't think I'm ready, but I can go not first.
Are you ready, Cassie?
Yeah, I'm ready. Right? I mean, there were only two people in the movie that, you know, I liked enough to vote as prom king and queen. Like everybody else in the movie, I'd hate for them to get that award because they all did mean things or were creepy or were sad.
Yeah.
And so, but my two picks are Josh and Rebecca.
Hmm. Nice.
I liked both of them. I thought they were both funny. And they probably don't talk to Enid anymore.
Definitely not.
Seems like
if any of our theories are true, definitely
she's
not.
She's out. Yeah. Do you want to go?
Are you ready? I can give.
You can go.
Okay. I think I'm going to go with Seymour as one. So prom king, because again, this
at least
poor,
give him that.
This poor man, his life was ruined by a bored 18-year-old girl that he fell in love with.
He wasn't even mad that he lost his job.
Yeah.
Like, he was like, I know I'm a dork. It's okay. I'm not mad at you. I'd be like, get the fuck out. Never come near me ever again.
He did get very weird at the end, though. Like, I think almost killing another 18-year-old. Because he thought the honey he slept with was liked him or whatever. And I think this may be a first, but I think I'm going to go with Josh.
Oh, so,
two fellas.
You were going to be like, I'm abstaining from picking a second person. I don't want to.
I've been told I can't do that before. So
sounds like something I'd say.
Yeah, you did. I bet I'm going to go with Seymour and Josh because Josh was a solid dude. He was just like, fine, fuck. Just so tired of her shit. But also being like, these are the people I know.
How did they know him? Like, did they go to high school? Because he wasn't at the high school and he had his own apartment. So I kind of got the like vibe that
like
he was
year,
older.
A year yeah. ahead.
That stupid note they left on his door did kind of like make me laugh. Therefore, you're gay. Okay. I am going to pick Seymour for prom king. I liked him. He just seemed like a very nice guy, kind of grouchy. And as you know, memory serves, I like a cute grouchy man. I miss mine.
<R.I.P. King. laughs>
And but yeah, I also struggled with prom queen. Because I didn't like Rebecca that much. I liked her more than Enid.
Yes,
but she still was kind of a shitty teenager sometimes. Dina just, I don't think that my opinion of her was due to Enid's viewpoint of her. I don't think they cared for her.
I mean, it definitely is a weird thing to be like, you can't hang out with this person anymore. Yeah. But again, she probably was like, she's an 18-year-old. Why are you hanging out with an 18-year-old? This is a problem.
It is a valid query. And I guess you're right. Like maybe she was like, why? That's kind of weird. Yeah. And so he was like, oh, then I'll stop. She is weird. I agree. She won't leave me alone.
She said she'd help me with the date and she did. And now she won't leave me alone.
Can I pick the lady who danced in that first scene? Like that intro scene where she was like watching that dance movie and there were people dancing at the very, very beginning.
It
kind of like Bollywood-esque. Yes. I was like, that lady's having a great time.
I thought that was like, it felt like Singing in the Rain.
Yeah.
Kind of vibe. Yeah. I think you deserve.
No. She was
dancing like, lady. She was
dancing, but it's like she's in a movie. Yeah. That seems kind of crazy.
I think Jason has done that.
Yeah, but I don't want to. Unless I have to, because I'm really struggling right now. Okay, so we went through Rebecca. I didn't like that girl, Margot, from their high school. She, you know what? I'm going to pick the dancing girls at the graduation, the TLC inspired.
I knew you were going to go there. I was about to be like, what about the performer?
Yeah, that's who I'm going with. Because like, I now wish I, looking back, I had the guts to like perform killer numbers in my high school, but I was too embarrassed. Also, I had no formal training, but like, I wish that I did.
I wish I had. I wish I had written lyrics back in the day and made up a choreography.
Yeah. Yeah. And the nice thing is like, they should be. So I pick Seymour and those three girls, but like completely. He is not dealing with people that age anymore, and they're gonna like respect him as an adult. They're not together.
Oh yeah, I should preface that mine was not a relationship thing either. It was just like they were kind of my favorite characters.
Yeah,
you convinced me with Josh. It was like He was a cool dude.
Yeah. Well, I guess I just wanted to put that because we have said that it doesn't necessarily mean that it's a relationship or shipping or anything. But I did feel strange putting Seymour in same category with like a bunch of more 18-year-old girls. And that's not what he needs in his life.
He needs to get away from these.
He needs to, yeah.
He's an accidental pedophile.
Yeah. Or like on the border.
Yeah.
So I think Seymour and Brad win. I don't know in what.
Josh?
Yes, his real name was Brad. Sorry.
He could also win.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they won. Mm-hmm.
Okay? They won. Sorry, I had a burp. And I was like, keep it silent. Do not burp into the mic. So I hope you didn't hear anything. But yes.
I was wondering why you were quiet for so long.
Quiet isn't my vibe.
Thank you so much for listening to another episode of I Know What You Watch in the 90s and Early 2000s.
Watch this movie. Like, it's weird.
It's a weird...
don't know where it's going.
Would you recommend it?
I think so.
Yeah, I would recommend it.
I would recommend it to a few people.
Yeah.
It had some pretty funny parts and some pretty dark parts. And it was always entertaining. Yeah. It wasn't a boring movie.
I will say, if you are someone who wants to know what you're getting into before watching a movie, like, definitely read a little bit because the title isn't giving you anything.
Yeah.
That's why we
still don't know where the ghost is.
Yeah, yeah, I guess it could, but it's very subtle.
All our theories could be right. All our theories could be wrong. Yeah. We have no idea.
Exactly.
You can, what is this? Second to last?
Yes.
No, there's two more.
Oh, okay. Right. So not penultimate.
Next one, just penultimate.
Yeah.
Two
more episodes after this one.
I guess you could still write to us if you want.
Can.
If you have a theory on why this is called Ghost World, or if you watch this movie and you're like, we made a terrible mistake.
Let any us kinds know. Of thoughts.
Yes, let us know at I Know What You Watch in the 90s at gmail.com. That is the numbers 9 and 0 as 90s. You can also follow us on Instagram and Facebook. Rate, subscribe, share everywhere where you listen to podcasts. Is that it?
I think so.
3, 2, 1.
Hear you later.
Bye.
Killing it every single time now.